Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Russia. Russia much in the news because of the deployment in and around Crimea, in and around Ukraine. I welcome Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, whose long experience with Russia, with that part of the world, Eurasia, is very helpful to understand headlines that we're getting from the Europeans within these last hours. I'm keen especially on the Financial Times because that is the investment audience, not only for the city, London, but for across Europe. And investment is the story for a nation that is as fragile as Ukraine. The headline, Anatole, a good day to you. Joe Biden makes diplomatic concession to Russia with NATO talks. This is the FT in these hours. Subhead, U.S. president wants allies to discuss Moscow's concerns in an attempt to prevent invasion of Ukraine. I begin with how Europe sees the story, because Ukraine is European, Russia is European, and this will be settled not by American might from across the Atlantic, but by some understanding among the major powers in Europe of what must be done. First of all, do we regard the conversation on earlier this week between the two presidents and the statement by President Biden about talks, do we regard that as a concession? Is that a significant word here? Good day to you.
Hello, John. Well, I mean, the problem is any diplomatic compromise or talks can be presented as a concession, which, of course, is what the Republicans are doing in Washington. But, you know, mutual concessions are what diplomacy is all about. Now, obviously, if there is to be any agreement, Russia also has to concede things. But equally, you're not going to get an agreement with Russia unless the West also does make certain concessions. But nobody's made any concessions yet. Nothing has been agreed. The Biden administration has just indicated, you know, its willingness to talk. And of course, initially, also to talk to European allies about what may be possible.
Let's look at those European allies one at a time. First, we'll begin with your native United Kingdom, where you've been living very happily for many decades. And you have a government that is much dominated by strong voices about being separate from the EU. Although at the same time, I note that the British government has now deployed British military forces to the Baltic states, to the frontier with Belarus, in a striking example of what you'd say common purpose, worried about the weaponization of migrants. All right, I mention that because Boris Johnson is much taken with concerns about Omicron, and it's Christmas time. But is there a collective opinion, Tory, Labour, the television, Channel 4, BBC 4, about what should be done in Ukraine, or is it all a hooey?
Well, I mean, there is certainly a collective willingness to strongly to support NATO in standing up to Russia. And of course, Poland and the Baltic states are NATO members. But, you know, let us not forget the entire British Army, the whole British Army can now only mobilize two brigades for active service. I mean, if we called up all our reserves, we would have more. But, you know, that's not enough to stop the Russians in Ukraine. And of course, President Biden has also said that, or at least by omission, has said that America will not fight in Ukraine. So in some ways, this is all a non-issue because Russia is not going to attack Poland or the Baltic states. And, you know, British armored brigade is not going to be, is not equipped to stop illegal migrants. So this is to a degree posturing. The question is what Britain will do in the context of an attempted peace settlement with Russia over Ukraine? And I think the answer is Britain will do what America tells it to, as usual.
Yes, I also mentioned the other part of the story, which is Russian energy. Nord Stream 2 is pending, always pending. However, Nord Stream 2 is vital to European success this winter, right now. The natural gas prices, as you know, because you live in a part of the world that is now early onset of winter, we're told by the meteorologists. So Russia has the natural gas valve open or closed. Is there an opinion that whatever Russia wants, Russia gets because we're paying too much to heat our homes?
Well, the Germans have actually deferred the finalization of Nord Stream 2 precisely as a way of, you know, being able to put pressure on the Russians. But of course, the existing pipelines through Poland and Ukraine, as you say, are vital to European energy and German energy in particular. Now, on the other hand, of course, you know, Russia is not giving this gas for free. It's being paid for it. And that money is critical to the position of the Putin regime in Russia. So, you know, this isn't by any means one-sided. But certainly, I mean, a Russian calculation is that in the short to medium term, Europe cannot do without Russian gas. I mean, for example, there's been this threat from America to cut off Russia from the SWIFT bank payment system, which would do terrible damage to Russian trade. But the problem is, it would also mean that the Europeans couldn't pay for Russian gas, at which point they wouldn't get any Russian gas, at which point, as you say, Europe would begin to freeze this winter. So I think the Russian fear is something different, that if they invade Ukraine, not tomorrow, not next year, but over a longer period, Europe really will move away from Russian gas, will find alternative sources, will, you know, move much more strongly to alternative energy. And then Russia's only market will be China. And that will put Russia in China's pocket, both geopolitically, but also because then the Chinese will be in a position to dictate the price. And although the Russians never talk about this in public, Putin has imposed, you know, strict discipline there. In private, this is, as I know, something that worries the Russians very much indeed.
You mentioned Germany. There's a new government. Olaf Scholz is the chancellor. Christian Lindner is the financial manager, the economy, in Christian Lindner's hands. And Annalena Baerbock is the foreign minister. These are different directions, green, yellow, and red, the traffic light. However, Nord Stream 2 is their child. And the talk initially was that if Putin does this, then that about Nord Stream 2. Is that credible to you? Could the Germans walk away from devoting all this time to Nord Stream 2? They've cut back on their energy sources now. Don't they need Nord Stream 2?
Well, I think they do. They're certainly desperately unwilling to cancel it. I mean, partly, of course, because they've pumped billions of euros into it. I mean, they would suffer a really, really bad economic hit. But they are willing to use it in the short term to put pressure on Russia. I mean, the question is, I suppose, I was talking to a European diplomat about this, whether France and Germany are prepared really to try to restart the Minsk II political settlement process, which they initiated in 2015, but have done nothing to push since then. And I mean, what I'm told is that they won't probably initiate it, but that if President Biden is willing to go down that route, then Germany and France will support it. And I think that's one of the things, of course, that, you know, America is talking with these countries about.
Yes, we do not know the names of the countries that will participate in the conversations with Russia, NATO and Russia. We could guess, though, that Germany will be one of them. You mentioned France. President Macron is in a re-election cycle. He's got lots of loud voices to his right, new player, old players, very little to his left, I think. So Mr. Macron is in a good position to be what? Bellicose or commanding? I don't know what the French word is for this. Does France want a settlement in Ukraine? Does that suit Macron's re-election purposes now?
I think it probably does, because it would boost his prestige. And of course, the French are worried about war. Whereas if there is an actual war in Ukraine, even one that doesn't involve NATO, I mean, the economic consequences for Europe could be pretty severe, especially if it leads to an interruption of gas supplies, because remember, you know, the gas pipelines go across Ukraine and Poland. On the other hand, and I don't think that Macron would face massive domestic opposition. In fact, I mean, the parties to his right are actually rather favorable to Russia. But, I mean, the French are very dependent on America for maintaining what's left of their sphere of influence in West Africa. You know, this is only possible with American military logistical backup and so on, and air cover. And so, you know, I don't think France is in a position to defy America. But once again, you know, if America takes the lead and it will indicates that it's okay with Washington to really pursue this Minsk peace process, then I think my sense is, from the conversations I've had, that is what the Macron administration will do.
There are many other countries, but the one you've named occurs to me must be at the table or be well informed. That's Poland, Warsaw. Adamant, fierce, dominating the conversation when it comes to the Belarus frontier. But what does Poland want in Ukraine? Part of Ukraine has been Poland on and off over the centuries. They're very familiar culturally with each other. So is Poland ready to make any concession to Russia?
Probably not. I mean, Poland is, of course, deeply hostile to Russia. But you know, the question is Poland prepared to fight Russia without the United States? Because Biden has made clear that America will not fight in Ukraine, though I suppose that could happen by accident. But, you know, I mean, if Poland blocks any kind of concessions to Russia or any kind of agreement, and which, by the way, I think unlikely still, Russia does invade, is the Polish army prepared to go and fight the Russians? I think the answer to that is they'd better not. You know, that would risk, not that Russia would invade Poland, but it would risk very heavy Polish casualties, possibly large numbers of prisoners, you know, a severe Polish defeat that would also be economically very damaging.
My sense of things, Anatole, is that right now we're not in a crisis. We're in a talking stage. And my sense of things is it's very important to ask, what does Russia want? So when we come back, we'll go to the Kremlin and look at this from the Russian point of view, what we have from Mr. Putin, what we have from Mr. Lavrov, what we have from the Russian media. Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. He's traveling. He's in the United States. However, he's headed back to a Europe that is already chilly and is counting on that natural gas. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Having MG can make cooking difficult, but over the years, I've found some really helpful tools and tips that I'm excited to share. Hi, I'm Alicia. I think cooking should always be fun, creative, and of course, delicious. These black bean burgers are hearty, full of flavor, and MG friendly. You're gonna love them.
Check out Alicia's Black Bean Burger cooking video and other recipes full of tips and tricks for managing common MG symptoms while cooking only at mg-united.com.
Ready? Let's cook.
Since 1983, Nissan has been building award-winning vehicles right here in America. And this summer, they're making it easier to drive one home. No new tariffs, just lower MSRPs on the Rogue and Pathfinder. So you can get the car you want at the price that feels right. But don't wait. These deals are only here for a limited time and while supplies last. See why Nissan is number one for new vehicle quality among mainstream brands. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.